As Kelly was talking about, we all have a story, and the Lord gave me it, just a real sweet story that I brought my tissues. It was very close to me, and I'm excited to share. So almost 10 years ago, my husband and I welcomed our first son in the world, and as it does, motherhood just radically transformed me and really radically transformed my relationship with him. I had known the Lord my whole life, but I really began to understand and grasp the depth of his love for me. And as that became real, I found myself just pressing into him in a whole new way and just uncovering these things about him that I didn't know and these truths and just falling so madly in love with Jesus. And as this happened, he began to speak to me and I began to hear his voice, and he started to unearth a desire that was deep inside my heart that I had honestly kind of buried. And he started to bring it forward and sprout it up, and he put this desire in my heart towards adoption. And I prayed over it and sought him. And after about 6 months, I approached my husband, RJ, and I said, I have just been praying and seeking the Lord, and I think he has adoption for us, for building our family. And RJ looked at me and said, nope, like, no, not for me. So, and I was like, well, will you at least like go to this adoption conference with me? No. He said, no, it's not for me. And my husband loves the Lord. He's an amazing, amazing man. But I wasn't surprised, because having kids was a challenge for him to begin with. And so I went back to the Lord. And I see now in retrospect that I think my husband's initial response was the Lord showing me that he was going to write this journey and he was going to be the one to pave this road. And so he told me just to pray. And so I prayed for a year, and I tried not to talk about adoption too much. I did all right. I guess I don't have to talk about it a little bit. But I prayed, and finally I went to RJ, and you know, I would check in with him. And finally, about a year later, he said, you know, I can't deny that this is that the Lord has spoken to you and that this is what he has for our family. And so through a variety of different things, we found ourselves in pursuit of an international adoption out of Ethiopia. That was in December of 2010. Our paperwork was submitted, and we were officially paper pregnant. And they told us it would be about 12 months. They said 12 months, 15 at the latest, and you will have a child in your home. And it was working out perfectly, because my son was going to be about 2.5, 3 at the time. It would be the perfect time to bring in another child. And we just thought, oh my gosh, like, we totally see the Lord's hand. This timing is so good. Well, what was supposed to be 1 year took 5. And we were not anticipating that. And when you have a desire in your heart and you have a calling and you think it's going to take a certain amount of time and it takes a lot longer, it can be very challenging and it can be really hard. But I can say in retrospect that I'm so grateful, because the Lord just taught me so much in the wait. And early on, RJ and I decided that we were just going to move forward in faith, and we would continue to just walk forward and wait and see if either the Lord brought us a child or he closed a door. And so we started walking forward. And I just want to share some of the things that the Lord taught me during the years of waiting. We realized it was going to take quite a bit longer pretty early on in the process. And so my husband actually approached me and said, I think we should have another biological child. And he was really feeling and hearing that from the Lord. And I actually really struggled with that, because I had this vision of what it was supposed to be and this path that God had for me. I was going towards adoption. Like, biological children were no longer even on my radar. And so it felt very confusing, to be honest. I was like, Lord, like, what do you mean, like, a biological child? Like, that is no longer what we're talking about. And he just taught me, like, to trust him, even if it seems confusing. And so I said, okay, I just told the Lord, I said, I'm going to take another step and of faith, and you open or close my womb, if this is what you have. Because I felt like I was cheating on our adopted child in a way. Like, honestly, it was such a, you guys, I think the moment I said yes to the Lord, I felt such overwhelming peace, and I swear I got pregnant. Like, I mean, I don't even know if RJ touched me. It was so crazy. And if you've ever met my son Parker, who came from our second pregnancy, you know that the Lord just needed to put that child on the earth. He is something special. Meet him if you have not yet. So that was one way. The Lord also just showed me that during the years of waiting that I could trust him to provide. International adoption is very expensive, and it's something that we had stepped out in faith, but the additional years of waiting really added to the expense, and we found ourselves having to write $700, $900 checks year after year for things like paperwork and fingerprints, and many times we felt like we were possibly tossing them into a black hole because we did not know if this would ever come to fruition and if we were ever going to see this adopted child. And we emptied our bank account completely 2 times over the course of these years of waiting. But there was always enough. There was always enough. And the Lord just showed me that he is the great provider. The Lord also taught me things about prayer and about fasting. About 3 years into our wait, it looked like Ethiopia was going to close its doors forever to international adoptions. Things were not looking good. And we were working with a Christian agency, and they called all of the families in the Ethiopian adoption program to pray corporately, to really press in. We were going to pray and fast together over a few-day period. And I had never fasted before, to be honest. It was something I had never done. And so I felt like the Lord calling me to it, and so I said I would step out in obedience, and I fasted for the first time. And I just felt like the Lord told me to share this with you. My first experience fasting, what I really experienced was hunger. Like, I was hungry a lot, and I thought about being hungry a lot. But I think he was showing me that not everything feels super spiritual always. Sometimes, like, in obedience, it just feels like just mundane. But weeks later, after that fasting, it took longer than we thought to get a result from the Ethiopian government. But weeks later, they just changed their mind and kept adoptions open. And I got to see the power of people coming together half a world away to have an impact through obedience to the Lord. So he taught me all those things. He also taught me how to start to really begin to hear his voice and to hear it, to dig like into the word. And I'm not always the quickest to hear his voice. And so he was so kind. He wanted to give me the story of Noah pretty early on. And so one week, it was in the course of a week that my book club started reading a book about Noah, like a secular version of Noah. And that same week, my son Landon got obsessed with the Noah episode of Adventures in Odyssey. And so we were listening to that on repeat in the car. And my girlfriend sent me a song that was based on the story of Noah. And you would have think I would have gotten it by now, but still no. So it's Sunday at church, and the sermon is based on Noah. And finally, I was like, oh, I think that the Lord has this story for me. And you would think, too, like, Noah's a pretty obvious story of waiting and faithfulness. You know, the Lord told Noah to build the ark, and he built and built and built for years before he saw a drop of rain. And the Lord used that story throughout my waiting for Noah, but particularly at the very end. And he used it even once when it was a hard day, and I was running, and I was crying, and it felt like it was never ending, and I was like, what are we doing here, Lord? And I looked up, it was like drizzly, it was barely raining, and I looked up, and out of my home was a gigantic rainbow sprouting out of my house. And I heard him through his word and through his spirit, and he continued to use Noah. During the last part of the waiting, that was the hardest. And So lost my place. 4 years into our wait, we did finally get the call that they had a little girl for us. And she was 6 months old. And my husband and I got in our VW van to open the file, and we stared into the most beautiful little face I had ever seen. Female face, two really beautiful male faces before. The closest thing I can reconcile it to is like the moment that you get a positive pregnancy test. Like instantly, that was my daughter. And instantly, my heart was 9,000 miles away, and all I wanted to do was to protect her. I needed to protect my baby, but my baby was far away, and we still had to convince two governments that she was actually meant to be ours. So as our verse says, this is when the waiting really turned into a full body experience for me. I ached and I longed for my girl daily. Daily I thought of her, hourly, daily, weekly. All we got were brief monthly updates with a few sentences about her and one or two grainy pictures. And it's hard to describe what it was like to know that she was taking her first steps, eating her first solid food, all without me. And I wanted to be there more than anything in the entire world, and I couldn't be there. And the Lord was asking me to just remain steadfast and to keep moving forward and to have faith, and that he would bring her home. My friend Covey was actually able, she was living in Ethiopia at the time, and was able to lay hands and pray over my daughter for me, which I don't know where Covey's somewhere in here, and I'm forever grateful for. But I knew that Jesus was in the details. I knew that he knew exactly why we were waiting even longer, because I thought, surely, Lord, it's been enough. Like, now that we know who she is, I should be able to go get her. But he had us wait 9 months. And we didn't actually tell our boys about our adoption until we had her picture. So the 9 months is not lost on me that he was having them wait as well. So finally, on November 22nd, 2015, more than 6 years after God started to share his heart for me and unearth that seed inside of me, I got to hold my daughter. 2 days later, we passed court, and she was forever ours. And God's faithfulness towards me and towards our Nora Joy literally continues to overwhelm me. But I want to say just one more thing. We will always thank the Lord so much for what he did in his faithfulness to bring Nora home. We will never stop being grateful for him and praising his faithfulness. But getting my heart's desire did not mean that everything in my life was suddenly perfect or put together or easy. Bringing Nora home actually ushered in like two of the hardest years of my life. Bringing in an adopted child is an adjustment on a family, and my marriage struggled, and my boys struggled, and I struggled. But the Lord had been using those years of waiting to grow deep roots. And so when the winds came and the rains came, I was able to stand strong and steadfast because he was the solid ground and he was my cornerstone. So I just want to encourage you, if you're in a time of waiting, to dig in, because he has you in the waiting for a reason. He has you in it to grow the roots and to know him, because the storm might come even when the waiting ends. And so that is just my testimony and my story. And thank you for letting me share.